Good morning. Today's scripture reading starts in Hebrews chapter 12. Hear the word of the Lord. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. 2 Timothy 3:16 through 17. All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Romans 15:4, for everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through the endurance taught in the scriptures and the encouragement they provide, we might have hope. 1 Corinthians 10:11 through 13, these things happened to them as examples, and were written down as warnings for us, on whom the culmination of the ages has come. So if you think you are standing firm, be careful that you don't fall. No temptation has overtaken you, except what is common to mankind. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can endure it. The word of God for the people of God.
Today we're going to continue our study on the spiritual disciplines, and if you haven't figured out, we're going to be talking about the Bible, on Scripture, because Scripture is vital if we're going to learn about God, or if we're going to learn about ourselves. The Bible is God's primary way to help us know ourselves and to know Him. It's a way we can learn that we can be in harmony with each other and with God. It tells us what we need for our salvation. Saints throughout the ages have talked about it. Augustine may have summed it up one of the best ways. He said, Holy Scriptures are our letters from home. And Augustine could speak from this because during his conversion process, when God was calling him, God said, take up and read. At first he thought some kids were outside saying these words, but all of a sudden he realized there was nobody around and God was speaking to his heart. And he knew that he was supposed to take up and read the Word of God. John Wesley said, I have a thought, I am a creature of a day, passing through life as an arrow through the air. I am a spirit come from God and returning to God, hovering over a great gulf till a few moments hence I am seen no more. I drop into an unchangeable eternity. I want to know one thing, the way to heaven, how to land on that happy shore. God has consented to teach the way, and for this end he came from heaven. He hath written down in the book, oh, give me that book, at any price, give me the book of God. I have it, here it is, knowledge for me. Let me be homo umbis libri, which means man of one book. Elaine Calhoun, in her book Spiritual Discipline, says, again, Scripture is the primary way the Holy Spirit opens us up to God, who is beyond us. And in our own Articles of Religion, in the Global Methodist Church, says, Holy Scriptures contains all things necessary to salvation. So whatever is not read therein, nor may be proved thereby, is not required of any man that it should be believed as an article of faith, or that it is a requisite or necessary to salvation. In the name of the Holy Scriptures, we understand those canonical books of the Old and New Testament whose authority was never in doubt in the church, at least the historical church. Romans chapter 15, which you read, chapter 4, says, the Bible is there to give us endurance, to give us strength so we can make it. We need endurance if we're going to handle something. We want to make sure to get strong enough. What do we do? We exercise. We do what it takes so we get strong. Holy Scriptures give us that endurance so we can face life. But it also gives us encouragement because we read what other people have gone through and it makes us feel like, hey, you know, we can make it. Right now in our portion of our Bible reflections, we're studying, reading through the Bible. We're reading about Job. That's always the most encouraging book to go through. Yeah, right. Job is either starts off losing everything, and then he's saying, oh, how I wish God would explain what's going on. And then his friends are there saying, yeah, you know what? You're an awful human being. You ought to get right with God. It's a real downer. But you know, in one sense, it's encouraging because we've all been there. We've had those bad times, and then we've also had those friends who came along and gave us good advice. Maybe. You know, and like, yeah, that may be true, but it doesn't fit for this situation, which is what was going on there. But as we read these things, we realize we're not alone. Other people have faced trials and difficulties, and other people have overcome, or other people have done things that were incredibly crazy. Like Abraham, who decided, oh yeah, this is my wife. Oh, this is not my wife. This is my sister. Oh, you want to buy her? Sure, go ahead. Sarah is the most, you talk about the patience of Job. Sarah had to be the most patient person in the Bible. Because twice her husband tried to let her be sold so he wouldn't get killed. Duh. But the Bible encourages us because it can tell us, you know what, at least I'm not that dumb. I have a whole new level of dumb. But at least I'm not like that. It encourages us. It can tell us, you know what, if we're not careful, we can be like Abraham. One moment doing something great, trusting God, and the next moment doing something incredibly dumb. And yet God says, you're my friend. Yep. The Bible is there to give us encouragement. God's Word, what do we do with it? Well, one of the things we can do is study it personally and together. We get together and we study the Word of God. We learn it. What does it mean? How does it apply to our lives? Early rabbis would take their students who were their rabbinic students, and when they were getting ready to graduate, they'd put a teaspoon of honey in their mouth. And the student was expected to spit the honey out and say, no, I want more of the Word of God. As I go along with the scripture, it says that God's Word was sweeter than honey. You think, well, that's a little strange. Well, we'll put a little backstory on this. When they first were training, oftentimes what they do, when they get ready to sit down and read the Bible or read the scriptures, I enjoy hearing them. You don't have to take off. Now I got to figure out where I was. Okay. They would take, when they would get ready to read scriptures, they would have their students put honey in their mouth. And so they would hold it in their mouth while they're reading scriptures, to reinforce this idea that the Word of God is sweet. I have one Bible teacher that says that he encourages his students to, when they're studying the Word of God, to have something sweet with them. Or, you know, if you really like coffee, to have coffee with you. That way you're reinforcing this idea that the Word of God is something to be enjoyed. And sometimes we need that because sometimes some of the things in the Word of God are hard. They're not easy. But the Bible is, as one thing, it doesn't hide evil. It doesn't hide violence. But here's the one thing it doesn't do. It doesn't glorify it. It doesn't lift it up. But the Word of God, if we're going to grow in it, we need to study it. Along with that, we need to do something like devotional reading. Some of you have devotion. Some of you do those type of things. Those are good. You get some reflection, some time to think about how this applies to our lives. Again, this is things we can do as groups, and also we can do personally. And both are important. Along with that, we have what is reflective reading or meditating. We should spend time in our Christian life meditating on the Word of God. What does it mean? How does it apply to me? Or think about it. Scriptures, especially the Psalms, talk about meditating on the Word of God. Why is this important? Because when you fill your mind with something, it's more than likely to come out. It's kind of like if you take a cup and you fill it with water. If somebody bumps you, what's going to come out? What you put in it. If I get a cup full of oil, and we're not talking olive oil, we're going to say motor oil. Some used stuff, some really nasty stuff from somebody's old car. And I'm going to fill it to the brim, and I'm going to carry it around while we're getting ready to leave here today. What's the odds, you think, that I'm not going to spill any of it? Pretty low, right? Somebody's going to bump me and something's going to fall out. Things are going to happen. Here's the thing. When we meditate on the Word of God, when we get the Word of God on us, we fill our lives full of that. And then when life bumps us, that's what comes out. If you fill your life with grumpy stuff, yucky stuff, and you get bumped, yucky stuff's going to come out. You watch CNN, Fox News, and all the and some of the nasty stuff that's going on YouTube and social media, and you get bumped, guess what you're going to come out with? The same stuff. That's why it's important to get in the Word of God, reflect upon it, meditate on it. Also, something we don't often do as much. Ann was mentioning a moment ago about the kids when they were doing some memorization. Memorizing the Word of God is important also. Now, for some people, it's easier than others, and I get that. But memorizing the Scriptures, becoming familiar with it, even if you don't memorize it word for word, understanding it and putting it into your heart means it's there. No one can take it from you, because why? It's there. You know it. In his book, Fahrenheit 451, Ray Bradbury talks about a society that burned books. And in order to save the knowledge that was in those books, certain people would take books and they would memorize it. They would work together so they would memorize the books so the knowledge would not be forgotten. And though some people say, oh, nothing like that could ever happen in our world today. No? Or I've got it on my phone. Yeah, because we can never lose any information off the internet, right? A government agency couldn't come along and said, you know what, we're going to delete that. Google may say, you know what, I don't think that's appropriate. Delete. Guess what? It could happen. All of a sudden, our access to some of this stuff could be gone. And what we have will be what we have in our hearts. Not to mention, I don't know about you, but I've noticed that I can't always carry this everywhere I go. But what I've got in here, in my heart, I carry with me everywhere I go. And the Word of God, Scripture says, is given, it's inspired by God. So that it makes us all that we can be. It gives us the answers we need. No, it may not tell you whether you should take job A or job B. But it will give you the truths you need. It'll correct you, as Timothy said, or Paul says to Timothy. It'll teach you. It'll train you in righteousness. It'll equip you for every good work. But if you don't get into it, you won't be trained. You won't know how to respond. And guess what? You'll fail. Which young person would like me to pick on them today? No young person wants me to pick on them today. Okay. All right. Then we'll make Delina go back to school. No? Delina, you studied for every test, right? You passed everyone with great answers, right? Could that have had something to do with the fact that you didn't study? You hated school? And you did stellar in it, right?
No,
okay. Don't you wish I'd picked on somebody else? No, you're fine with that, okay. Here's the thing. We need to get into the Word of God. We need to study it. Because if we're going to do well in it, because it's the Word of God is there to help us in life. If we're going to do well in life, we need the Word of God. Some people may say, I don't have the time. Guess what? You don't have time not to. St. Augustine, who said, God told him to take it up and read it, also said, God wants to give us all kinds of good things. But our hands are too full to receive them. God wants to give us good things, and there's a lot of good things in here. But if we fill our lives with everything else and don't open it up and don't find out what's there, guess what? The gift is there. But we filled our hands with all kinds of other stuff that we're missing out. And some of those things may be very good. But the problem is, you're missing out on the great things. Also, you may say, well, I don't have time. Well, that's like saying, I don't have time to eat. Now, I can get away with that for a little while. Probably do me some good. But eventually, even for me, if I decide I'm too busy to eat, what's going to eventually happen to me? I'm going to die, yeah. I might last a little longer than some of the rest of you, but I'm not going to make it, am I? The Word of God is what gives us strength in our spiritual life. And if we don't put it in, guess what? We're not going to have the strength to make it. And an amazing thing, too, thinking about not eating. If you decide to quit eating for a while, something strange will happen for most people. After a few days, you're not hungry anymore. Like, hey, I'm doing great. And you may actually start feeling pretty good. The problem is, after a certain point, your body was still going to fight to keep you alive. It's going to first start taking from your fat resources. And then it's going to start taking from your muscle, from the other parts of your body. And sooner or later, it will cost you. You may say, well, I'm busy right now. I can't do it now, but I'll do it later. That's like saying, I'll eat later. But the problem is, in the physical world, if you starve yourself long enough, you may try to fix things later, but the damage has already been done. I had a girl in school, great gal. But she had a problem with anorexia. And by the time she got it under control and started to get the counseling she needed, the damage was done to her body. And she died in her 20s. She never thought she was pretty enough. I thought she was good looking, even before she started her diet stuff. But let me tell you something, that'll happen to your spiritual life. You go on long enough without plugging into the Word of God, without receiving from Him, it will cause damage to you spiritually. The good thing about the Word of God and about God is He can help you. And He will forgive you. But sometimes once the time has passed and you've done something and there are consequences you have to face, you still have to face those consequences. You weren't full of worth the Word of God, and therefore you reacted badly, and now you have a relationship that's broken forever. You've then allowed yourself to be full of the Word of God and with the knowledge of God, and therefore now you have to live with something that maybe you wouldn't have had to face if you were plugged into the Word of God. Now, some people may say, but I don't understand everything in the Bible. Guess what? That's okay. I'm trying to learn very badly Spanish. And there's one thing I figured out. I don't understand everything they say. But you know what you do if you want to really learn? You keep listening. You keep trying to take in what you can, because an amazing thing starts happening. After a while, you start getting things you didn't get before. You start understanding things. Why? Because you're immersing yourself in it. When you immerse yourself into the Word of God, things that were unclear before start to become clear. And there, I'll be honest, there are going to be some things that you will never fully understand. Why did God do this? I don't know. Why did God allow Satan to bother Job? You can spiritualize it. You can say it was for our good and everything else. But still, if you're Job, it still was bad. It still wasn't good. And I can try to focus on that and say, since I don't understand that, I'm not going to read the Word of God. Now, that's like saying, since I don't like beef liver, I should quit eating. No. Why? Because there's still a lot of good stuff out there. So I need to get into what I can understand. And an amazing thing will happen. When you do, you'll start understanding other things. By the way, for you, we're looking for excuses. Here are the excuses. I don't have time. I don't understand. And also, what if it could hurt or offend others? The Word of God will sometimes offend people, but we don't want to use it as a weapon. The Bible says the Word of God is sharp like a two-edged sword. But that's to be used against the devil, not against other people. Ephesians chapter 6. The Word of God is supposed to be that thing that cuts into us to change us. But it's not something that's supposed to be used to hurt other people. Don't weaponize the Word of God. Don't get into the Word of God to figure out, okay, I'm going to find out for sure. Yep, here it is. Now, Anita, if you'd start doing this, everything would be great.
Okay.
No, I don't use this to look at her. I use this to look at me. Because the Word of God is there to change me, not as something to attack others. And when this happens, when we allow the Word of God to get it within us, something amazing happens. We start becoming the Word of God to the world around us. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 3 says, clearly you are a letter from Christ showing the results of our ministry among you. This letter is written not with pen and ink, but with the Spirit of the living God. It is carved not on tablets of stone, but on human hearts. This is the New Living Translation. I like it. When we allow the ministry that God has in the Word of God to change us, we become the Word of God to the world around us. And we can help also change the world. Not because we're trying to beat them up with it, but because we're living it out. We're the letter. We're the truth. Living out amongst them. It shines forth in this dark world. We become a light. Why? Because we have that light in us. And we can make a difference. We've prayed about we want revival. We want God to do something in our midst. But if we want that, we've got to be willing to allow Him to come into here. And one of the best ways to do that is to get into the Word of God. Because it carries the truth. It carries what you need to make it in this life. Coming here once a week and getting into the Word of God like this is good. But if this is all you do, going back to that same illustration about eating, if you're just eating once a week, you're not going to make it. You need to get in it more often. You need to reflect upon it. If you can't carry it with you, reflect on it. Think about it. And it will change you. It will help you. It will make a difference in your life. And again, whatever, it's not easy. Good things often aren't, but they're always worth it.
Let us pray.
Now, Father, I ask that you bless each one that's here today. As they go from this place today, let them shine forth the love of Christ to the world around them, and let them feel your presence in a special way, I ask. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Go with God.